Where does a mascot go after the game? Does a mascot get up to no good, or does a mascot go straight home?
No, it depends on what city he's in, and if he's on the road or not. You know, it's a whole process.
Yeah.
You have to decide exactly and what time do you have to get up. You know, mascots are just like people.
We're just talking and saying how many Zoom chats the mascots are having right now. Is that a bad idea?
No, I think it's great. We're dealing with Zoom fatigue, WebEx exhaustion, and video vomit right now. So everything has its place, but you know, I think it's getting a little old already.
David Raymond is our guest, the original Philly fanatic, the founder of Raymond Entertainment, which involves mascots such as Bernie of the Miami Heat, Victory Green of the Dallas Stars, and Thunderbug of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He's also the founder of the Mascot Hall of Fame. So how did you come to be the Philly fanatic, and what went in, aside from the costume, David, what went in to creating the legendary character that is the Philly fanatic?
Well, it's an awesome question, and it wasn't by design in terms of me becoming what I'd like to call a professional idiot, but something that I'm proud of. I got to be a professional at something. But I was a kid in college. I actually wanted to be my father. He was the head football coach at the University of Delaware, and he's in the College Football Hall of Fame. And all I thought about was going to play football for him at Delaware and then being a coach like him. And I was able to do the former. I got to play for him at Delaware. And then he was discouraging me, saying that, you know, he stayed at the same college for 50 years and I wasn't going to be able to replicate that. And because he knew the ownership of the Phillies, he helped get me an internship in 1976. For 2 years, I had an internship. And then the third year, I thought they were going to say, well, David, graduate and maybe we'll have something for you. Instead, they called me at my fraternity house and said, hey, look, you got your summer job back. We just need you to go to New York and get fitted for the costume. And I said, what? Because I was in the promotions department. You know, I was doing a lot of silly things, but I wasn't sure what they meant. And they said, just go to New York, get fitted for the costume, and we'll figure it out. And the first day that I saw that costume completed was the very first day that I was wearing it in front of I was going to be a 300-pound green furry Muppet and try to entertain the same fans who have booed Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, which was a fact. So I thought, well, maybe this isn't a great idea. So I went to my boss and said, you know, listen, I'm getting dressed tonight. The costume fits great. Looks awesome. What do you want me to do? And he saw this fear on my face and he just said, hey, David, just go out and have fun. If you're not having fun, the fanatic won't be funny. And if the fanatic's not funny, it's not going to work in front of the fans. And that's what I did. I listened to those words of wisdom and I went out and they let me just interpret it the way I wanted to interpret it. I was a Phillies fan. I was an athlete. I understood baseball. I understood what they were going through day in and day out. And it just clicked. And the same process that we followed with the Phillies is the same process that I taught the Flyers to follow when they rolled out Gritty. And it's pretty much being fearless. You know, just, hey, we're going to go out. We're going to do this. It's going to be ours. We're committed to it. It's going to work. And that's the way the Phillies were with the fanatic.
How did the Gritty all come up? I mean, that's got to be the most popular. I don't even want to know what do you have to make multiple suits to have them in different spots of the city? Because, I mean, the interest in Gritty right now and popularity is off the charts last couple years.
And could you have predicted the way he took off on social media?
No, there's no way. And that was the one thing that was obviously not there with the fanatic. Everything that Gritty has gone through, the Phillies and the fanatic had the same opportunities. It was the same excitement. The difference was it took a year and a half, 2 years for the fanatic to be everywhere and to be on the late night television. I mean, the fanatic has done all of that, but it happened in about 48 hours with Gritty. And it was really about the Flyers being committed and not that. I told them from the first day that we started, we all had an agreement that no matter what we did, whatever it was that was created and when it was rolled out, that it would be universally hated. Because that's just the way the Phillies fans are. Certainly the Flyers fans were not pro fanatic or pro mascot. And with the tweets started coming in like, he looks awful. I hate him. He sucks. You know, and that was the first couple of tweets. And the boss there, Sean Tilger, said, well, that's not very creative. Let's wait until they get creative and we'll support the creative tweets. And you know, the ones that were profane and were, you know, just not appropriate, they didn't, you know, they just ignored those. But the ones that were funny, they started sharing them, and then Gritty would respond to them. And when the Penguin, you know, gave a dismissive tweet that said, you know, LOL, okay, that's when Gritty fired back at him, you know, sleep with one eye open tonight, Bird. And then our fans started going, yeah, he's ugly, but he's ugly. You shut up. You leave him alone. And then that really inspired a tremendous amount of creativity, because folks were seeing that when they tweeted, there was all kinds of response. The players would respond. Gritty would respond. The Flyers would share. And then the late night comedians got a hold of it. And that's why it just went into the stratosphere, because they found it good fodder for their comedy. And it was. And the Flyers just didn't stop anybody. I mean, there were all kinds of versions of Gritty that people were drawing, building costumes, and the Flyers just left them alone and just said, you know, this is part of Gritty fever, and we're going to ride it out. And it was, do you realize they got this? Is they had a tracking service. They received over $8 billion of free ad space because of all of the media and all of the attention. And it was, you know, from a marketing perspective, you couldn't possibly dream that sort of thing would happen.
Wow. I mean, that $8 billion in free ads.
Now, I had someone ask me, well, how did they track that? And I said, well, you know, they had a number of measures, but one certainly was they'd get a placement in the newspaper, you know, or newspaper. I'm 102. they saw a placement on an online publication.
Yeah.
And they would figure out, well, what would it cost us to put an ad in that space? And that started to track some money. But there were also things that they had to measure in ways that they hadn't measured before. But that is, you know, just think it was not just in the States. It wasn't just in North America. It was all over the world. They had a picture, somebody during an Antifa, this was the height of craziness, during an Antifa demonstration, they had a picture of Gritty strangling Donald Trump on a poster.
Wow.
You know, just it had gone to, you know, lengths and into areas that just you would never expect it to happen. So no one predicted it, but it was, once you looked at it, you went, okay, it's because that we were fearless. The Flyers were certainly committed to it. They got a great design done. You know, we got them in the place that could build the costume for them. I had identified and found the performer for them, and they just followed a process that was very reflective of what the Phillies did. The Phillies just didn't have it all planned out. They did it because it was just inherent to the type of organization they were.
David Raymond is our guest. You referenced a little orange on orange crime there. You are the original Philly fanatic, the founder of Raymond Entertainment. Want to ask you about the Hall of Fame in just a second. But, David, in your opinion, what makes a mascot last? And I think the reason I ask is that the San Diego Chicken seems to have been the original, but it's like the chicken either doesn't exist anymore or we don't hear about the San Diego Chicken in the same way that we do continue to hear about the Philly Fanatic, Gritty, UP, some other high-profile mascots. What makes them last? What gives them lasting power?
Well, that's such a great question. And you picked the area that gives you a good example. So the most important thing that makes it last is the organization's understanding and commitment to the character brand. It's not a mascot. A mascot is a kid in a suit. A character brand is a living, breathing brand extension. The way you go from one end of that continuum to the other is to care and to value. So that means that you're investing in it. Yeah, you're gonna spend some money to create something that is well thought out. You follow a process. So the Flyers hired me. They found, you know, with our help, they found the right people to help them do it. And it is a budgetary decision. So they went on the high end and said, we're going to invest in this. And then internally as an organization, why are we investing in this? Because we know the return. we understand it. We have a plan. We are going to track it. We're going to measure it. It's like any other great initiative in terms of marketing and branding. So that's the first step, is the understanding that it has value, and then the commitment to make it work. And then it's sustained effort along the way, and it's getting a unique design. It's getting a great performer. It's having people in social media that understand how to connect to people. And it's using it in every silo of your organization. So if you're selling sponsorships, where is Gritty? If you are selling season tickets, where is Gritty? If you're doing community good, where is Gritty? What's Gritty's message for the community? You know, it isn't just hockey. It's that I'm a member of your community and I'm doing good things for you. These are the things that we're committed to investing in our community. So it's sustained effort all the way. The reason why I believe that the chicken is not relevant like he was in the beginning, because it was one person that was building it for that person. And he was very selfish. He held on to it. He didn't share. He said a long time ago, when I'm not doing this, the chicken will not be around. So he's never let anybody else get in there, teach somebody else how to do it, let it grow. And it was really because of control and wanting to hold it just for this one entity rather than to the whole community and sharing it and letting it go, letting it grow and letting it be part of it. So an organization, frankly, has an easier job of doing that because that's what they do in general than a one person that holds on to the character. That character is that person. That's it. It's not everybody else's. It's mine. And I really believe that's the biggest difference, is that you've got to let it grow. You got to let it share, and you've got to include people, and you've got to make other people a valuable part of it. That it isn't just one person. And I'm a perfect example. I was with the Phillies for 16 years. I've been blessed with being credited for the personality. I'll accept that. Thank you very much. But then it's the Phillies effort, and the gentleman who is one of my best friends, Tom Burgoyne, is now the current best friend of the Fanatic. He's been the Fanatic for 25 years, 26 years. It's been 42 years of effort to have that character sustained and continue to be relevant. So it's a collaboration. It's a work, and it's a bunch of people sharing their talent to make it great.